Unlike John, I didn't grow up a UU. He had experiences throughout his childhood and his youthhood with Covenant, creating them, living into them, breaking them, and re-entering them. I did not. I attended church a lot with my friends. I grew up in Texas, and that often meant attending Southern Baptist churches. And for those communities, the binding force was belief. It was faith, an agreed-upon understanding of what was true and right. And then I took that online belief-o-matic quiz from beliefnet.com that one fateful night in college, and it tallied my results, and it told me that I was 100% Unitarian Universalist. And I had no idea what that meant. So I followed the link to the UUA website, and it told me all about this faith tradition that was bound not by common beliefs, but by seven principles. So I started attending the nearby First Unitarian Church of Dallas, and my minister there taught the newcomer class about our principles, how they were statements of action, she said. How did it work that this church had all of these people with all of these different beliefs? I was confused, but intrigued. And like most new Unitarian Universalists, I clung to those seven principles as the only thing that I could really point to in this tradition where you can believe whatever you want. I needed something, and so I had those handy-dandy seven principles card in my wallet, and I would show it to any curious bystander or folks who really didn't care at all but put up with my excitement with my new faith. The principles are important to our tradition. This year, we are going to be focusing on our principles in our Sunday services. Those are going to be the themes each month. We're going to explore each principle deeply for a month at a time. But this month, September, to kick off our year, we are just exploring what it means at all to have principles, to be a principled faith instead of a creedal one. The principles are important. In fact, we have them painted on the entryway wall when you first walk in this fellowship. But in some ways, we have given them more power than we need to. They were created as additions to our Unitarian Universalist Association's bylaws in 1984. That's not that long ago. And they supplanted the original purposes of the Unitarian Universalist Association, which were created in 1961 when the Unitarians and the Universalists consolidated together into this new thing. The president of the UUA, whose name was Eugene Pickett, he came to office in 1979 and he said this of the problems facing our association. This was 1979, quote, "The deeper malaise lies in our confusion as to what word we have to spread. The old watchwords of liberalism, freedom, tolerance, reason, worthy though they may be, are simply not catching the imagination of the contemporary world. They describe a process for approaching religious depths, but they testify to no intimate acquaintance with the depths themselves. If we are ever to speak to a new age, we must supplement our seeking with some profound religious finds." End quote. And so it was that the delegates hammered out the principles, and they have remained essentially unchanged for 30 plus years. The original wording of the first principle was changed from the supreme worth and dignity of every person to the inherent worth and dignity of every person. The fourth principle was changed from the free and disciplined search to the free and responsible search for truth and meaning. But otherwise, not a lot has changed. In some ways, this is incredible. It's incredible. It's amazing and also incredible, unbelievable, because in a tradition like ours that relies heavily on debate and dissent, the fact that we agreed on these principles in the first place and then haven't even bothered to change them in 30 years is amazing. But it also worries some people. It worries some folks who believe that the principles have become like a creed. When the time comes every few years, we're supposed to revisit them and revise them, and people get all itchy. You You can't do that. You can't change them. We painted them on the entryway of our building. But we can. And actually, we should change them to stay in touch with the times and the truth as it continually reveals itself. We recognize that truth for all time was not discovered in 1984, and that we can continue to revise and be aware of the new truths as they emerge. The thing that is powerful about the principles for me, though, is not so much the individual principles, cool and useful as they may be, but actually the preamble to the listed principles. So I invite you to turn in your gray hymnal a couple pages in the very beginning where the principles are listed. You find them just a couple pages in. The principles are listed there. And I want you to read with me the preamble, the sentence that comes before the list of principles. It says, "We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote." And then it goes on to list the seven principles. We covenant to affirm and promote these things. Covenant, affirm, promote. These three words are verbs. Affirm means that we agree on them, that we say yes to them. Promote means that we work to make them real in the world. But covenant, what does that mean? Covenant is an ancient idea central to the Abrahamic faiths of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and it usually refers to the agreement between God and God's people about the relationship that they will have with each other. Typically, these covenants include the ways in which people will act as a sign of their relationship with God. And since the time of our pre-Unitarian Puritan ancestors, yes, our ancestors religiously were the Puritans, our congregations have been bound by covenant. These people, they gathered themselves together. They prayed, and then they tried to discern the will of God in their communities, and then they made promises to each other about the ways that they would live in accordance with that understanding. They agreed to be bound to each other in the spirit of love, which was according to our reading that we heard earlier by Alice Blair Wesley. One of these earliest written covenants is from 1648. It's entitled the Cambridge Platform. We are required to study the Cambridge Platform in seminary, and I will spare you all the details. But the gist of it is that it is a letter from the people in Cambridge, the Puritan Congregational Church in Cambridge, back to the Church of England. Remember, this was 1648. The United States did not exist yet. We were a colony of England, and therefore under the Church of England. But the folks in Cambridge wrote a letter back to the Church of England saying, yes, we agree with all of the things you have said. Yes, absolutely. Except we have this little tiny disagreement about the organizational structure of the church, which they believed should be entirely independent without the hierarchy of bishops, popes, or kings. It was an incredibly brave thing that they did, sending that letter back to the Church of England, and actually it ultimately led to a chain of reactions that brought governors here from England to oversee the colonies, which eventually led to the anxiety that led to the Salem witch trials. That letter that said, we disagree with you strongly about this one little thing that to us today feels sort of silly, was powerful enough for them to risk their lives over. And this structure that they were arguing for is the structure that we here today still follow. We are a free congregation. We answer to no one but our own members. We elect our own governing board. You call your own ministers. I was not sent here by the Unitarian Universalist Association or anyone else. We fund ourselves entirely. This comes to us from our ancestors as far back as the 1600s, and it comes out of a covenantal understanding of theology, of the understanding that in order to be free, we must first be bound by promises to each other. paradoxical truth brings me back to the dog leash from the Wonder Box. It brings me back to our fourth principle of a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. It brings me to the fact that I know that we all feel so much more creative when we know what the expectations are. If I said to you, go, create. Create what? Right? If you have some sense of what the boundaries are, you are able to be more creative within them. According to Alice Blair Wesley, quote, ultimately, the only freedom adequate to human dignity is the freedom to do what love asks of us. And the greatest blessings of life come to us and through us to all the world when, with intimate and freely bonded companions, we are trying together to live with the integrity of faithful love. The covenant that the Puritans espoused in the Cambridge platform was translated to modern language by the Unitarian Universalist minister Forrest Church like this. This is what our ancestors in 1648 said. We pledge to journey together in the ways of truth and affection as best as we know them now, or may learn them in the days to come, that we and our children may be fulfilled, and that we may speak to the world in words and actions of peace and goodwill. Not bad for the Puritans, huh? We give them a lot of heartache, but they were actually pretty incredible people. This was essentially their covenant, their promises to each other about how they would live their lives in community with each other. And our covenant isn't that much different. It's espoused in our seven principles. We covenant to affirm and promote. It's our affirmation to work for peace and justice, to seek truth responsibly, to support each other in our congregations, to honor the worth and dignity in every person, and the interconnectedness of all of us in this world. This is our covenant today. We still have one. And my understanding of this word covenant, at least insofar as the word has evolved over time and context, is that it is different from law in two important respects, covenant and law. Laws are imposed by external forces, while covenants are freely entered into. They are chosen. And second, laws have consequences if they are broken. If you break a law, you have to pay a fine or go to jail or some other consequence. Covenants assume that they will be broken, and they are designed with repair and restoration in mind. One of my favorite ways to explain the principles to our children, and thus to our adults, is through the language of promises. For one, for a child, the principal is often the person at their school that's in charge of everything, that if you get in trouble, you have to go to their office. So when we say principals, that's usually what they think. And also, when I say promises, that's just a great way of understanding covenant. I remember when I was doing a volunteer training for religious education volunteers at my last congregation, and I explained the use of the word promise instead of principle. So I would say we have seven promises. And someone, one of the volunteers, was very concerned because she was worried that if we use the word promise, the kids might feel bad if they broke them. Well, yeah, I said, they might. And that's kind of the point. Like I said last week, we don't want anyone to wallow in guilt or shame. Those are debilitating and harmful feelings. But when you realize that you're not living up to your own values and you feel kind of bad about it, that's a good thing. It says you have a conscience. If you didn't have a conscience, I'd be worried about you. And it also is the beginning of the repair process. That twinge of, ooh, I feel a little bad because I broke a promise. One of my favorite parts of being a minister is that I often get to meet with newcomers. I love to see their joy and their excitement at finding the place that at least it seems meets all of their expectations. Finally, a place where they feel welcome, included, supported. It's perfect here. And when I meet with these people, I always feel nervous, though, because I know that inevitably we are going to disappoint them. Because here's the thing, friends. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It's really unfortunate. It's really sad, this thing. But here's the thing. We are people. I know. It's terrible. We're people. We're flawed. We mess up. We're not perfect. We're going to say stupid stuff to each other. We're going to offend. And then when someone tells us that the pain we've caused by our offense, then we react badly. And oh man, we're human. And that is why covenants are useful. They set for us the high values and ideals of our faith, and then they bind us together in a promise so that we don't just flee at the first sign of discomfort. And they are designed to be re-entered into when they are broken. We all have the experience of breaking a promise. We don't go into a promise intending to break it, but sometimes it happens. Sometimes maybe we shouldn't have made the promise in the first place. Sometimes it's accidental. Sometimes it's intentional. But when it gets broken, we then come back to the table. We return back to the values that called us together in the first place, back to the agreements that we have made. And so our principled faith is a covenantal faith. It is one that says, these are what we agree upon, and this is what we'll work to make, what we will work to make true in the world. And if we agree, we are working to make true the fact that every single person has worth and dignity, even if they don't see it, even if they don't act like it. And then we will call each other rather in rather than out. Do you know that phrase, calling people in? Often we want to catch people in the act and we call them out. Covenant says we call you back in. We will honor the value within them and hold them accountable to acting like they have value. We will also recognize our interdependence, that we are better together, and that anything that harms one of us harms all of us. Our covenant says we continue to seek truth, even when we think we've got it all figured out, that we will be open to new truths revealing themselves. We will strive to hear different perspectives. We will allow each person a voice and a vote. And we will work for peace and justice within our communities and beyond. These are the principles that hold our congregation together into this body that we call Unitarian Universalism. And we will not always succeed. We will fail, and then we will come back, and then we will try and repair again and again. As our ancestors said, and I can still honor their vision, even if the particulars have changed, we pledge to journey together in the ways of truth and affection, as best we know them now, or may learn them in the days to come, that we and our children may be fulfilled, and that we may speak to the world in words and actions of peace and goodwill. May that be so. Amen.